Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
New beginnings. The Lord has challenged my own heart with this action theme for 2020. New beginnings. What does God want to do? What new thing? You see, I can say with such confidence because any kind of a study in the Word of God will teach you quickly that God is a God of new things. He is a creator God. You say, well, yeah, but I don't know if he can. He can do, exceeding and abundantly more than you could even ask or think. Now, how incredible is that? If we'll just let God, He wants to do something spectacular in our lives. How many believe that? You know, I have seen God turn financial situations around for people that they thought was absolutely impossible. I have seen God step in and do things for people physically that no man could ever do. Well, as a matter of fact, I mean, we have folks sitting right here in this sanctuary who the doctor said they wouldn't be here. But God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be on God's side? You know, I want to say one thing to those who are watching us by the internet. And by the way, you know, we had almost 400 last week who were tuning in the live stream. So welcome to you. I would love for you to communicate with us. We would love to hear from you. Now, I want to share with you right up front, we're not wanting to come after you for money. We will never do that. But what we would like to know is who you are. And so if you will email us or text us or whatever, we're pretty easy to find. You can go to our website, and if you're not already on there, you can go to our website, and there's a place there that you can connect with us. But we would love to know who you are, because you're part of this church family. Amen? How many of you would like to know who they are? Amen. Yeah. You can't hear them. They're sort of clapping. This morning, I want to begin with that scripture verse that we shared right at the beginning. I just feel like that a spiritual new beginning has its foundation in the new birth. How many of you believe that? Jesus said, truly, or very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. I want us to look at the character of new birth, to examine the nature of the journey that begins when we are born again. I believe that I can substantiate this through Scripture, that when we are born again, our life is different. Whenever someone says to me, I'm not sure that I have been saved, then I want to take them to the first steps. Because part of our salvation is the assurity that we have been born again. How many know this morning that you have been born again? Praise the Lord. John 3:6 says, flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. And again, he repeats it, and you must be born again. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water, which is natural birth, and born of the Spirit, which is spiritual birth. Now here's where the conundrum comes in, the struggle comes in the fact that this new spirit being that is created by God in you and I is still housed in this body of flesh. In that comes this struggle that exists between the spirit and the flesh. Does anybody in this room know what I'm talking about? How many know about the struggle that is going on internally, flesh against spirit? Now here's the truth. When you and I follow the flesh, we reap the flesh. When we follow the Spirit, we reap of the Spirit. So the more that you and I learn to follow the voice of the Spirit of the Lord who is within us and to walk after the Spirit, the less we actually follow the flesh and have to deal with the repercussions of the flesh. That's the reason why Paul told the church at Galatia, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you know those choices that we make. Now see, sometimes we want to boil this down to, well, if you do this bad, then you won't go to heaven. If you do this, the reality is that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and through His incredible grace, we are saved. But folk, we bring upon ourselves such struggle when we fail to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, when we serve our flesh rather than the Spirit. We bring so much, fear and struggle and agony when the Lord would bring us peace and joy and love. I tell you this morning, that's the reason why He brings new birth to you and I, so that He can give us His peace and His joy, and overshadow us with His love. And then He gives us this commandment. He says, even as I have loved you, you love others. And that's where you start getting the wow moments of your life. My prayer over you this year is that as you are born again, that you would truly begin to listen to the Spirit of the Lord. Because I mean this with all of my heart. I'm not just saying this. I believe that God is wanting to use many of you in spectacular ways. I mean, not just normal ways. I mean, I believe He's wanting to use many of you in spectacular ways. Wow kind of ways. That will only happen as you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. George Whitefield, you may have heard of him. He's a great evangelist back in the 1700s. He wrote to Benjamin Franklin. How many know who Benjamin Franklin is? That electricity guy, okay? On 17 August 1752. He said, I find you grow more and more famous in the learned world. As you have made a pretty considerable progress in the mysteries of electricity, I would now humbly recommend to your diligent, unprejudiced pursuit and study the mystery of the new birth. It is a most important, interesting study, and when mastered, will richly answer and repay you for all your pains. One at whose bar we are shortly to appear has solemnly declared, without it we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You will excuse this freedom. I must have something of Christ in all my letters. Don't know what he was writing him about, but he wanted to make sure that Mr. Franklin knew that the answer to real life was found in new birth in Jesus. He said, if you want something to study, latch hold of that, and it will be life-changing. Can I offer that to you this morning? I realize that in preaching that you'll catch a few words here and there and the rest of it will be tied up in the stuff that's going on in your minds. But if you want to study, if you want something to really grab a hold of that can be life-changing, study new birth. You know what came to my mind? I was thinking about Lazarus. How many know who Lazarus was? He died, right? And they put him in a tomb, and he, after 4 days, he stunk. Okay? Jesus stood on the outside and said, "Lazarus, come forth!" And Lazarus, still in his grave clothes, came out of the tomb. Wow. Be Lazarus for a moment. What do you suppose went through his mind? Because he was just a guy. One that we really don't know too much about. Yes, he occasionally had a sit-down dinner with Jesus and things. And yes, he was raised from the dead. But we really don't know too much about Lazarus' life. But I think I can speak to something this morning that when Lazarus came back to life, he was different. He was a different person. How many believe that he had different priorities? I mean, it wouldn't have taken him very long to realize, I could have continued to stink in the tomb. This could have been it. And as he's walking out, and they're taking the grave clothes off of this guy, just imagine what's going through his mind. How do I repay this? How do I live this out? How many agree with me? No? Most of you don't. How many think that Lazarus was different when he came out of that tomb than when he went in? Okay, thank you. See, I believe that's with new birth. I don't believe that anybody is born again and is the same after it. If there is not a dynamic change, if there's not a change in priorities, if there's not a change in desires, if there's not a change in every aspect of their life, then they have not been born again. You say, oh my goodness, Pastor, that's a huge thing. Well, listen, because when you are born into this world, how many agree it's a change? From mama's womb to this world, most of us cried. It was a grand happening 69 years ago when Tony Terrell came into the world. Where's he at? Today, 69 years ago today, he came into the world. How many remember when you got saved? When you were born again? It should be just as significant, folks. 1 Peter 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that cannot perish or can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. Lord, grip our hearts today with the truth and the reality of new birth. And if we cannot reckon with a changed person, then may we do the first works again, coming before You, kneeling before You, crying out to You, Lord, forgive us of our sins. We repent and turn away from them, that our life might be made new by Your Spirit. May we accept no substitutions. Help us this morning. We learn from this first verse that new birth is given to us by God. It doesn't come out of our own design, our own desire, our own ability. It's given to us by God. It says, in His great mercy. We need to know that. It does not come by our decision making. New birth comes by His decision, His love, when He sent Jesus into this world. This is God's motivation. for saving us is His mercy. If you remember some weeks back, we talked about mercy, that mercy is pity. He sees our need, but godly mercy doesn't just stop at seeing the need. It has the resources necessary to meet that need. I hope you get a hold of some of these truths, because mercy in the Word of God is a manifestation of pity, yes, but it is also the extension of what is necessary to meet that need. In other words, God doesn't just feel sorry for you. He wants to do something about it. When God has mercy upon you in any area of your life, it is because it's not just because He's sitting there going, oh boy, that's such a shame that they're going through that. No, He wants to step into it. He wants to do something about it. God, in His great mercy, brought us salvation. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the praise in the life-changing reality of the new birth is directed by God the Father. Your Heavenly Father wants to see you born again. Born from above. It comes by and through His incredible love. Come on. For God so loved the world that He gave. I have to say it. No praise comes to us. Oh, yes, I'm born again. You know what the posture is? Oh, God. We bow before Him that He can lift us up. Folk, I think we need to be so careful with this as Christians. We cannot, with any kind of prideful look or word or action, stand before the world as though we are something special because we have been born again. Because God wants to redeem all men. He has come for all men and women. You say, yes, but I accepted Him by His grace, by His mercy. There's no place in being born again for us to puff ourselves up, but rather to puff Him up. Wow, God. Wow. You sent Jesus for me? Look what it says. In His great mercy, He has given us. He has given us. He has given us. Martin Luther said, when the Spirit of God, I understood these words, or it says, when by the Spirit of God, I understood these words, the just shall live by faith. I felt born again like a new man. I entered through the open doors into the very paradise of God. You see, this new birth is transforming. Transforming. New birth into, look at verse number 3, new birth into a living hope. Do you realize there is no other religion, there is no other practice of faith in all of the world that promises hope? But being born again by the Spirit of God, having your sins forgiven by the blood-bought sacrifice of Jesus Christ, gives us a hope, and not just a casual hope, but a living hope, one that we can count on for our whole life, and one that we can take into eternity with us. That word there, hope, to anticipate with confident expectation. It's going to happen. You see, we could be settled in God. Fears can be settled. Struggles can be settled. Difficulties can be settled. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I belong to God. In him I live and move and have my being. So therefore, I don't know how this thing's going to work out, but it's going to work out because God. I belong to him. This new birth is a transforming new birth. Peter states it. He says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the living and settled nature of this hope comes through the resurrection of Christ. So it rests upon him, and it rests upon him alone. It is as good as his word. It's as good as his promises. It becomes truth to our lives. He says, I don't know how it's going to work, but it's going to work. There's not one of us in here that can really explain how it is that we're going to get to heaven. How do you get from the grave to heaven? How do you get from this life to heaven? Can't explain it. But oh, what a hope. Anybody else in here have a hope? I have a hope. If as I'm preaching this message, breath leaves my body and the heart stops and I fall right down here, you have something to deal with. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh my goodness. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain, oh my, precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints, oh my goodness, it says to me, I have a hope. But it goes beyond the grave, it goes beyond death, church, it goes right down to the nitty-gritty of every single thing that I am dealing with in my life. It says I do not have to deal with it by myself. Because I have been born not just of water, but of the Spirit of God. And His Spirit lives within me. And if I will take the time to listen and accept His counsel, He will lead me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He will guide me. He will give me peace. Oh, He will be a shelter over me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, nor wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I'll stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. You see, this whole spiritual thing may be to you, you know, just something that you step into occasionally. But then I have to say this, and forgive my brashness in making this statement, but you're not born again. Because being born again is transforming. It starts affecting every single part of your life. I reckon with it in this way. God messes with you. When the Creator God gets involved in your life, things begin to happen. Strange things begin to happen. You go to places that you didn't think that you were going to go. You start doing things you never thought you would ever do. You say things you could never even begin to think of saying. Because He's a Creator God, a God of new things. He says, new birth into an inheritance. Hallelujah. Now, you know, our family, my kids, have gone down this DNA trail. They sent me the thing one Christmas for me to spit into and send it off to somebody. What a terrible job. Nevertheless, 23andMe, and it told me all the, you know, DNA, and they send me something almost every single week telling me all about my DNA, and I keep getting these emails from people that say that they're a fourth cousin of mine, and I wish I'd have never done it. But nevertheless, you know, We have searched. My kids have searched back. I know what they're looking for. Somebody famous. And all they can find is farmers. That should tell you something, you know. But it's farmer after farmer after farmer after farmer after farmer, all the way back into, you know, back to Ireland and everything. Just farmers, sheepherders, farmers. Nobody rich. Oh, but I have an inheritance. My Jesus, on one day, he said this. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are," well, I like the old way, "many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Then he says, "You know, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Why? "So that where I am, there you may be also." Hallelujah. Born of water? Nobody of anything spectacular in my background. Born of the Spirit? Hallelujah. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, like Abraham. Just a sojourner here. You see, everything changes. It becomes transforming when you are truly born again, church. Because see, old things, Paul says, are passed away. All things are become new. You begin to realize, I'm not in service to this world and to the flesh. I am in service to the God of the universe. Hallelujah. And this is not my home. And then this, you know, money that he sends my way, it's not mine. It's his. I'm just a steward. Just a steward of things for a season, because my home is with him. You see how it changes? Priorities change. Pursuits change. Everything changes at the transforming nature of the new birth. Jonathan Edwards, on January 12, 1723, he says, "I made a solemn dedication of myself to God, and I wrote it down. Giving up myself and all that I had to God, to be for the future in no respect my own, to act as one that had not right to be himself in any respect, and solemnly vowed to take God for my whole portion and felicity, looking on nothing else as part of my happiness, nor acting as if it were, and his law for the constant rule of my obedience, engaging to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil to the very end." Everything changed. He says, my pursuits changed, my education changed, my thought pattern changed when I became born again. Now I'm pursuing God and his thing. You start looking at your job, whatever your job may be, as a mission field. Saying to yourself, you know what? I belong to the Lord. The Lord has me here. The Lord has me on purpose. And so therefore, I need to be looking about to see whom God would have me to minister to today. You get up in the morning and you pray, "Oh God, speak into me. Let me know who I'm to talk to, what I'm to say. And may there be no accidents in this, but may I be on course, and may your Spirit rule and reign in my life. I'm not worried about sin because I'm pursuing you. And the closer that I get to you, the less I have to worry about sin. And the things of this world grow strangely dim in the sight of your glory and grace." Hallelujah! You know, some of you need to get saved. I'm sorry, but it's true. You really need to get born again. You need to have a life-transforming new birth in Christ Jesus, because the walk that you're having or trying to have with God is so mixed up with everything of this world that you don't even have a clue of what I'm talking about. I can tell you this morning, and not critically, but God has something for you. I mean, He has a place for you. He has an ordination for you. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon your life and make you transformed by His glory and power. You should just give God a chance. Everything else is just disappointing. Oh, there's one other piece here in this transformation, and that is those who have been transformed by new birth are put under a shield of God. Look what he says there. He says they are shielded. Look at verse number 5. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. So until the day when your salvation is complete, when you're in the presence of the Lord, God has ordained a shield over your life if you are born of the Spirit. You say, but Pastor, how is that possible that you know, there are still difficult things that enter into my life? Well, we'll get there in just a moment. Malcolm Muggeridge, an English journalist, wrote this. He said, man's effort to make himself personally and collectively happy in earthly terms are doomed to failure. He must indeed, as Christ said, be born again, be a new man, or he's nothing. So at least I have concluded and have failed to find any alternative proposition. As far as I'm concerned, it is Christ or nothing. I'll tell you what, you take a bite out of this. You experience new birth and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you will not want to go back. Let me bring this to a conclusion this morning and tell you about the effects of the new birth. Look at verse number 6. In all this you greatly rejoice. Hold on, let me pause right there. When you are really born again, there's rejoicing. I remember when Ezra stood up to read the Word of God before the people of Israel who had come back to the land after captivity. And he stood up on a high platform and he began to read. And he looked out and the people were weeping and wailing. And he called a halt to the whole thing. Maybe some of you remember what he did. He said, hang on just a moment, folks. He said, this is a time of rejoicing. The redemptive work of God happening in our life. Oh yes, we may grieve, we may agonize over the sin in our lives, and we may place it on the altar of repentance and agonize that we have sinned in the past. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you and relieves you of that sin, there's a day of rejoicing. Ha! Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's an individual rejoicing. Two people with the exact same experience, sort of, rejoice because God has done a unique thing in each one of them. In other words, both of them are born again, but he brings new birth to us. He's a creative God. No two snowflakes are alike. No two believers are alike. Again, Paul says, the old is gone, the new is come. Temple Gardner of Cario says, the sense of newness is simply delicious. I like that. The sense of newness at new birth is simply delicious. I like to eat, that's the reason. Okay. It makes new the Bible and friends and all mankind and love and spiritual things and Sunday and church and God Himself. I believe that's true. I've known individuals that tried to sit down with the Bible and tried to understand it. Could not understand. It was just like a curtain was in front of their face. But then they were led to a brand new saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were born again, and they open up that same book, and all of a sudden the revelation of God begins to pour into their hearts. Hallelujah! The Bible becomes new. You know, there are many terms for being born again. Saved, conversion, believer, born again, new convert. I like new birth. Doesn't it just give the right picture? New birth. Doesn't say newly arrived. Hello? It doesn't say new adult. Know-it-all. It says new birth. That means that you're beginning a journey. That means that things are just at the very beginning. Too many of us accepted new birth from the Lord, but then we stopped the growth process because it became a bit inconvenient. Because you see, remember back at the beginning, I said we're still embodied in these fleshly bodies. And this fleshly body has desires and want and will. And as the Spirit of the Lord is speaking inside of us and saying, scoot away from that, we start, well, now just why? Does it mean I won't go to heaven? The Lord says, no, your redemption is through my blood. Well, then I don't understand why I can't have that in my life. The Lord says, because it's not beneficial to you. Come on, let's go. Let's move forward. Huh? How many have been there? You know what I'm talking about. And you know what? He doesn't drop all that on us all at once. It's just like you when you have a baby. The first thing you don't say, here, honey, have a steak. Well, this child, what kind of a rebellious child is this? He won't eat my steak. The kid doesn't have any teeth yet. Huh? The Lord lets us grow into our relationship with Him. It begins at new birth. But the effect of it is that then we begin a life. And He's able to disciple us. He's able to put into our life. Okay. You're going to begin to hear in this year of new beginnings. You're going to hear about, Pastor Steve and I are going to start talking about Spirit Quest. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. Spirit Quest. The Lord has laid upon our hearts. And you know what? It's a choice, church. It's a choice. You will make choices on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis as to whether you will serve the flesh or you will serve the new life that is given you in new birth. But I can tell you this morning with all assurity, you choose the new birth, you choose the Spirit way of life, and God will bless you. He will dump things in upon you and use you in ways you have never, ever imagined. Oh, praise God. Now listen, and I have to say this, don't be fooled by the trials. There will be trials. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But look what he says. In all of this greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Say all kinds of trials. There are losses. There are struggles, there are difficulties, because folks, we're still in the flesh. Adam and Eve chose to bring rebellion against the will of God into this world, and because of that, there is sickness, there is struggle, and there's even death. But be of good cheer, He has overcome the world. He says in verse number 7, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Hallelujah. There are some tough days. Some tough days that we walk out in this flesh. But if you will stay with the Lord, if you'll make your pursuit upon your new birth, He has a life that is second to none. Let me finish with one other testimony here. When I met Christ, I was 49 years old and had been married to my husband for 17 years. We had two children and a quiet suburban life. We had built a comfortable life. But I knew that if I fully followed Christ, everything in my life would change. I might lose it all, my marriage, my friends, and my family. I weighed devotion for Christ against devotion to my kids and my family. I asked whether a broken marriage with Christ was better than a marriage without Christ. But gradually, as Christ's words, His love filled me and poured out of me, even to my husband, who now called me his enemy, I found that I could love my husband with a resolve I had never experienced. And in the 18 months that followed my full commitment to Christ, Christ has been shaping our marriage in a new way. My husband has changed dramatically from the man he was 2 years ago. From fighting my church attendance, he now encourages me to go. My children are going to youth group, and both are worshiping with me weekly. When I ask my husband if he would help my daughter and me go on a mission trip to Mexico, he said, "We will make it happen." I've learned to trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. The great effects. Having not seen Him, you love Him. Even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen.